Today's message is called Taming the Tongue. We're in James chapter 3. I know, ouch. Here it comes, guys. So there's two things you can do today. There's two things that you will do when you hear the truth today. You can either reject it. You can feel the conviction and just reject it and come up with excuses on why you are the way you are. Or you can receive this today and make corrections where you need to. And I want you to know that I am in this with you. When I prepare messages to preach to you, I don't go, oh, this would be good for them. I open myself up where God, search my heart, convict me, break me. And he does. When I prepare these messages, I get convicted. I have to repent. I'm broken before God before I step up here and share this with you. So I just be brave today. Allow the truth to show you where you're at. So we're at the halfway point now in the Epistle of James, and this practical teaching has challenged the church to the reality of living out the faith that we profess to have. It's one thing to say I have faith. It's another thing to actually live it out and do what the scriptures say to do. Remember, there's no chapter breaks in the original Greek writing. You know, we have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. In the original letter, it's just a flowing thought. James has a point he's trying to get across to his church. And he has an intention. Like, there's intentional wisdom to what he's sharing. In a nutshell explanation, do our actions line up with the statement, I believe? Do our actions line up with that? How we respond to trials, temptation, conviction, those in need of help, the temptation to show favoritism, and handling the word of truth are what we've been challenged with thus far. Now, James thrusts us into another truth. Do our words line up with our statement, I am a believer in Jesus Christ? We behave the way we behave because we believe what we believe. And our tongue, or our words, are the biggest tattletale of what's really going on in our hearts. Your mouth is a tattletale on where you're really at. Yeah, ouch. James is the pastor of the Jerusalem church, and he's writing this to Christian Jews who have been scattered throughout the surrounding area of Jerusalem. And they've been scattered due to persecution. The churches keep being persecuted and everybody's running for their lives. These people are not that much different than we are. Even though we are Gentiles and we've only experienced grace through faith in Christ, the Jewish believers, though they once lived under the law, are now battling the same battle of freedom in Christ, which means the flesh battles with the spirit. Our sin nature and fleshly desires are fighting for position with our sanctified spirits. James puts a mirror up in our face and he states, and I'm paraphrasing, if you're saved, you should watch your mouth. He starts with the leaders in the church. Ouch. As he should. He should start with those who get up and preach and teach. There's an obligation here. So he starts with us in James chapter 3, verse 1. Let's get started. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. James includes himself in this statement as they personal, loving statements saying, warning people, do not rush into ministry. Do not rush into the role of teaching the word of God because you want to be liked or popular. It's not a positional one who has authority and look at me. He's saying you be careful because we who teach, we who preach will be judged more strictly. Are we really walking the walk of what we preach and talk the talk? We will be held accountable for everything. So be, you know, don't rush into it. The more we talk, the more opportunity there is to say something stupid. Amen? In James chapter 1, we'll go back to chapter 1. He says this in verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. And remember that word, for the Greek word for religion is threskeia, which means worship. So let me put this into that context. Those who consider themselves worshipers and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their worship is worthless. Ouch. That word for worthless is mataios, meaning empty or useless. Our testimony is so, and look, again, none of us are going to do this perfectly, but this is to drive us deeper into the word, deeper into Christ, that I would die more to myself and live for Christ so that my testimony and my life lines up with my testimony, right? I profess faith in Christ. I'm a Christian. I go to his place. You should be able to look at my life and go, yeah, you are. Doesn't mean I live life perfectly, but it means there's evidence that my profession of faith, that I'm a Christian, a follower of Christ, there's evidence that backs that up in my life. Otherwise, my worship, is worthless. It's useless. It won't affect anybody. In fact, that's why there's so many people that go, Christianity is just a bunch of hypocrites. There's always going to be those who come against us and judge us and hate us. But let's not load the gun for them. Amen? Let's quit giving them bullets to shoot at us with. That's what James is drawing us to, that conclusion. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want people to teach, okay? He's telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:1, here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. It's good. It's a calling. It's a calling. Trust me. When it comes to leadership and preaching and teaching and shepherding people, it's a calling because there's so much to it. Preaching and studying and preaching is the easiest part. It's the shepherding of the people and the personalities and the brokenness and, you know, people's human nature that to protect themselves. And therefore, you know, they do this or do that. It's what they've been doing their whole lives. It's due to trauma in their childhood. It's due to bad relationships over time. And we just react and we treat people a certain way, but we don't trust them because of that. It's a calling to shepherd people through that because you have to be patient. You have to look at, you know, you have to be kind. You have to stay in the truth. It's not a means of being popular or having authority. In fact, the highest level you can get in Jesus Christ's church is servant. That's the highest. Any of us should want to achieve is a servant. I'm just here to serve. I'm just here to serve you, God, and serve your people. We are to be careful to teach the truth only and sit under people who teach the truth only. Paul gives Timothy the same charge as he gives us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. He says, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than the advancing of God's word with work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they confidently affirm. You see, we need to be careful and check. That's why it's good for us to dig into the word and to check with the scriptures what people are preaching. I know there's people in here that check my sermons. I've been called out on when I've, you know, misspoke before. And I value that. We have to be careful because I've never given you false doctrine, though. You know, I'm just maybe got some information wrong, just for the record. just saying. But false doctrine is almost true. You see, the devil comes as an angel of light, not the red horns and the pitchfork. It's not an obvious, he's so smart. He knows scripture. It's the almost. But see, it's like true, 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 but then it takes away the deity of Christ. True, 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 but it takes away the power of the cross. You know, name it and claim it. You speak it, you can have it. And we'll get to that, but that's not true. We have to watch who we allow to speak into our lives. Does it line up with scripture? Because the only thing that we need is the Holy Scriptures, is the Word of God. The Word of God preached and taught as is, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the writer, that means what it means, is enough to set people free, to give them salvation, to heal the deepest parts of our wounded souls. It's the Word. So it's so important that we preach and we teach the truth. And also that we're responsible enough to know and sit under people that do that. We who teach her will be accountable by the Lord. Ezekiel, God prophesies through Ezekiel this in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. There is a responsibility to warn people of that sin is bad, If the Bible calls it sin, it's sin. And that's what we teach, and that's what we preach, and that's how we start, we live our lives. We bend our lives. We take the truth, and then we let it convict us and break us, and then we repent and we change. We change our lives to match the truth. If the Bible calls it sin, it's sin. I'm not supposed to make excuses for it. I'm not supposed to blame God. Well, this is how you made me. Amen. Yeah, you resonate with that statement, right? I've done it before too. We don't do that. We say, oh God, search my heart. Search my heart. And if I am doing anything that would cause you to be heartbroken, because his heart breaks over the sin. He loves us, yes. But he hates the sin. Show me, God, so I can change. And then, because you've broken me, you brought me through the fire, God, and I feel like I have a call in my life to share. Then I will. Because I'm sold out to you. Because I spend time with you alone, having you mold me and break me and convict me with your word, so that I can come before your people with compassion and know that I am speaking and preaching the truth. Then it's time for you to teach and preach. Hebrews 13:17 says this: have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. The only authority I have is the authority I have when I preach the scriptures. Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account, and I will have to. Do this so their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. It's the author of Hebrews saying, work with your leaders, your teachers. Don't work against them. Don't be divisive. Come to unity. Work together. They will have to give an account of their ministry. Trust that. Trust that they are going before God on their own and being broken by the word first. Okay, so let's go to verse 2. That was just verse 1. That's the good thing about preaching every Sunday. It's if I don't finish, we'll slide into part 2 next Sunday. Praise God. Okay, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. He says it again. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now, I didn't write down the Greek word for perfect, but basically it means mature. We all stumble in many ways, guys. But anyone who gets a hold of their mouth is mature. It begins to know, maybe I shouldn't say anything. That was a huge miracle mind blower for me. Keep your mouth shut, Jonesy. That's an option. Wow. And let me tell you something. Talk about dodging bullets of my own making. The more I keep my mouth shut and listen, pray, pause, the better the outcome is. You master your mouth and you will watch your life change. Because in adversity, when you get triggered and your feelings come up, that's going to happen. It's when we believe those feelings and like, you know what? And you have to go back and go, oh my gosh. Sorry about that. And the odds of things actually getting mended, right? Which is, should be the goal. In unity and, you know, being able to own your stuff and go, you know what? And just being able to respond in love. Hey, you know what? Here's my boundary. Doesn't mean you got to be a doormat, but here's my response to that. I hear you. I acknowledge what you're saying to me, and I will own everything I need to own in that, but I'm going to respond like this. Here's what I have to say about it. See, if two people can go, you know what? I hear you. Even if I disagree with you, I'm listening. I'm listening to you, and then I'm going to validate you that I've heard you. That, in and of itself, quenches the fire. Now you can get to the solution. There are many ways that we sin. If we watch what we say, our lives change for the better, but why? One, the tongue has the power to control you. Master your speech and you master yourself. And number two, master your speech. You master what you do with your body and your impulses. You know, last week I said, you're not what you say, you're what you do. But here's that paradox, that beautiful combination of, but what you say directly affects what you do and how you do it. So there's a beautiful dance in there. Controlling what you say and how you say it. It will affect, the Bible says, it will affect your whole body. And the way that you respond to people, places, and things. Jesus calls out the hypocrites in Matthew 12, 34 through 37. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Slap! This is Jesus. So let's look at this, because we need to take this seriously. Does that mean I'm going to lose my salvation if I slip and talk smack about somebody? That's not what he's saying. He's saying if you constantly are negative and your evil's coming out of your mouth, you're not really saved. And you will be judged by your words. See, when we get, those who are born again in this room, we will stand before Jesus. One day you and I will stand before God. We will be naked, nothing, none of our kids, none of our parents. It'll be us and Christ. And we will be judged at the mercy seat, the Bema seat. So we won't be judged on our sin, but we will be judged on our deeds. And part of our deeds are the things that we say. Okay? So we will experience loss. Right? I mean, there will be... I won't be judged on my sin. But I'll be judged on my deeds. So I want as many good things to have at that moment. You see what I'm saying? I don't want my things that I do and I say to burn up in the fire. Oh, didn't last. It wasn't pure. There was an agenda. Your heart wasn't in it right. You were just doing it. Don't answer that. James gives us examples of how our words drive our behavior in verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Just by a little bit, we turn the whole animal by the mouth. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go, it's a small little thing. Power applied at the right point is sufficient to move the whole vessel. Control your tongue because of its power to control you. If we intentionally remember, right, that the Bible says take every thought into the captivity of Christ. That means that every thought that I have, you know, what I think about a situation, how I look at people, I have to take that thought and take it to Scripture. Lord, does this thought line up with the truth, or is it just me getting crazy again? Right? Is it just me and my brokenness? Is it true? Do I need to meditate? Is it true? Is it right? Is it noble? Should I meditate on this? Oh no, this is negative. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit and manufacture the misery. We're good at that, aren't we? Making up a scenario and just, oh, that. You know? By the laughter, I can tell I'm not alone. I'm a professional. But the more that I've rebuked that kind of behavior, and you do have the power, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You take that thought, not today, Satan. I'm not going to marinate on that. I'm not going to buy into that lie. I'm not going to manufacture something. I have no idea if it's true or not. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So I think about what's true and what's right. Can I put a positive spin on this? Can I put this person in a positive light? Oh, they are made up of strength and weaknesses just like me. They're made in God's creation just like me. They probably have a past just like me. So you know what? I can treat them with respect and love no matter what. No matter what. Only speak Philippians 4:8 things. Speak what is true. Speak what is right. Speak what is lovely. Speak what is pure. Speak what is admirable. Speak what is excellent and praiseworthy. I can say what I need to say through this filter right here. I can still have boundaries. I can still execute boundaries. And do it in love, in a praiseworthy way, in a way where the hearer goes, oh, I hear you. Because if ultimately, and I said this before, but ultimately, right, if there's something that needs to be discovered or fixed or healed between two people, isn't it much easier to get to the center, to the root, to the problem when we're not cluttering it with cuss words and egos and emotion, but getting to the bottom of why are we disconnected here. Let's get to the root of the problem. If our tongue were so well under control that it refused to formulate the words of self-pity, the images of lustfulness, the thoughts of anger and resentment, then these things would be cut down before they have a chance to live, before we birth them with our mouths. God said, and it was, right? Our words are powerful. I told you I'm not a name it and claim it guy. We trust God. He's sovereign. But our words are a rudder for our life. That's power. There is wisdom in being intentional about what we think, and especially about what we say. If it's not good, don't say it. If it's not noble and right, admirable, excellent, true, if it's not true, hold it. Pray about it. Seek counsel so that you can say something that is. And when we obey the word, when we obey this, because it's going to take effort. There's free will involved here. I can choose to do it your way, God, or I can choose to just continue to do it my way and go to church and do the deal and check the box. But this is who I am. That's sin. That is not right. That would cause me to, I'd be scared about my own salvation in that instance, to be honest with you. It's the obedience to the word and how we utilize our speech to glorify the King. I belong to Jesus. That should be evident in my life. And I know we're all in process. I have been in Christ and said stupid stuff. So it's not like any of us are going to bat 1,000. I'm not up here pretending like I don't sin anymore. But we should be sinning less. We should be always repenting. Hey, you know what? I blew it. I'm sorry. How can I make this right? Lord, you know my heart. I'm sorry. Change me. Continue to convict me when I get out of line and I misrepresent you. Make it hurt. Make it hurt, God. I'm okay being embarrassed. I'm okay being ashamed for a moment, because that brings forth change. Pain brings forth change. So God, break me. Here's another, how we doing? Yep, we're not going to finish, no way. Here's another example. Verses 5 and 6. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. This is, it shows us, look, this is our sin nature. It's, we must fight against that. Here's the thing. If I'm not studying the word, you know, if I'm not fellowshipping with other Christians, if I'm not connecting with other believers and basically just learning. Because the Bible, your Bible doesn't mean anything if you don't understand it. It's just a book full of words. It's when you begin to know the truth sets you free. Because you understand, oh, my mouth is so powerful that it gets me in trouble. That it really, like, words are like arrows. You don't even have to be near the person that you're killing. Your words can destroy what took you so long to build. Your mouth can just destroy relationships in an instant when it takes so long to build trust and you know, trust. It's that sin nature that is passed down generation after generation. It's the people that have sinned against you that have caused you not to trust people anymore. And makes you look at people a certain way. This is what God wants to heal us from. That we would pay attention to what we say. We can feel what we feel, but hold our tongue to consider that if I just react, if I come at you based on my feelings, the odds of me sinning against you, sinning and defiling myself are high. But if I have, you're not going to run to your Bible when something happens and go, where's the scripture I need? Where's the scripture I need to respond? I mean, it's what's already in you. The word that you have been studying. The word that you have gone with others and, hey, what does this mean to you? Oh, okay, yeah. It's a seed that's planted in you. So when these situations happen, that's what comes out. The word of God comes out. Jesus Christ comes out of our mouths because we've studied. We've sat. We've thought. We've meditated on, wow, that's incredible. The word, the Greek word for world is cosmos. It means the system, the world system opposed to God. You know, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. And that the word fire, you know, it sets the whole course of one's life on fire. That word is trochos, and it means the wheel of your life. Literally. Your tongue affects the whole of your life. So he's saying in this scripture, and I'll close, the tongue is a system of iniquity. It defiles the whole body. It affects the circle of your life and is lit by hell itself, which means it's savage and combative with the spirit. Sin nature's weapon of mass destruction is in your tongue. But listen. This week I want you to really just be conscious of what you think about and what you say. How you say it. Because it affects your life. It will either build somebody up or destroy them. But I don't want to end a service without giving an opportunity. This is all about Christ crucified, dying for the sinner, dying for you and I, but lived the perfect life in thought, word, and deed, lived the life we were supposed to live, but went to the cross willingly and died for us in our place so that all who have faith in the finished work of Christ shall be saved. If If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have before in the past, and you know that you could look at your life and I have not been living a life of fellowship with God, I want to give you an opportunity to make that right today as the deacons come forward. Yes, thank you. God's tugging on your heart today, and don't wait, don't hesitate. Salvation is in this house today through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's not the prayer that saves you. It's you surrendering to a living God who loves you, who wants to reside with you, in you, and change you to be more like Him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart today, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Amen. I see your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so this prayer is a profession of faith and it's a surrender to God. So say this prayer out loud with me. And church, will you help us out? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life. And change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive to me. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. And I thank you for your forgiveness, for your mercy, and for your grace. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you, church. Father God, shine your face upon your people. Holy Spirit, remind us this week as we go the importance of what we speak, what we think, and how we treat others. Bless your people this week, God. Shine your face upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week. Love you guys.